This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off with each other just yesterday. And it seems as if the country is, I don't know, there must have been a meeting or a memo sent out that this is crazy time. And if you want to go crazy, now is the time to do it. We have shootings. We have people quarreling and fighting. We have Congress being up in the air about what's next. We have the issue of migrants. I mean, it is so chaotic. You can't help but think, you know, sometimes, even the far-fetched ideas that, well, did somebody arrange this? Or did it just happen spontaneously? It is an insane thing. I'm particularly sensitive to things that are in the air, how things are going, and the net effect of things kind of coinciding with each other, even if by chance. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like there's a force choreographing all of this, and to what end, we don't know. All we know is that it's happening. We don't know why. But it is just too coincidental to say, well, these things are just happening. They just happen. There's got to be some kind of a force. This Star Trek fans may be able to give us an education on that. That there seems to be some kind of a force that brings all of this together. And next thing you know, it's worldwide chaos. And that's where it feels like it's heading. But okay, let me not be the arbiter of chaos. Let me not be the predictor of chaos, because this is just, it can't be coincidental. Something is happening here. Something is happening within human spirit, within the leadership of countries, within our communities, within even ourselves. Something is happening. And what is happening is that it seems we're out of kilter and becoming more and more so, just out of kilter. And we don't know, at least we haven't even discussed it as a phenomenon, because people now are going to think, well, you're kind of crazy. But this is how it feels to me. It feels like these things are happening all over. They seem uncoordinated, but then not. They seem to be coming out of the same place of disarray and confusion and insanity. I just hope we don't have to deal with that too much longer, because we'll be done for. We'll be done for. And it is not just a coincidental observation. It is something that I've been feeling for a while. I'm pretty sensitive to these kinds of things. And constantly am asking, well, why did that happen? How did that guy know? How did this woman do this? How did these young people do that? And sooner or later, we see a thread. And the thread, it seems so far, is chaos. Chaos. I mean, when in the United States Congress, you don't feel assured that the people there are wrapped tightly. or they know what they're doing, or there's a, you know, an assurance of sanity. If you can't feel that in Congress and or in your local city hall, you know, you have to ask, well, what is happening in the world? Did we all drink some kind of a strange potion? And these things are happening? What is this? This is crazy. Which brings me to a topic. I had not planned far in advance for it. I had been thinking about it, and I had made notes from time to time. But we might as well get to it. Something is happening in this country, and either people are afraid to talk about it or do not observe it happening, or they observe it, but they don't think, in the scheme of things, it's that important. And again, I come back to that word, chaos. We are seriously in a chaotic state, and the world is edging closer and closer into the realm of chaos. And a lot of the fighting that is going on around this business of chaos, who's inciting it? Who is trying to prevent it? Who is trying to help us cope with it? It's all still focused on this one thing, a very chaotic way of life. And it can't continue this way without tragic consequences. Not for one or two or three people, but for wide swaths of people all over the world are going to be consumed with chaos. Chaos is in their leadership. Chaos is in even their churches. Chaos is in every aspect of their lives. And all they would really want is some indication of stasis, peace, calm, logic, quiet. It's not going to happen anytime soon. Because there's a very interesting thing that has happened with chaos in this world. People are actually thriving on it. It's an industry. And people are becoming known to the world because of chaos. And so they encourage more chaos so that they can be better known. And therefore, chaos is presented to us as just a natural, it's a natural sidebar, a natural consequence of life. It's nothing to be worried about. Are you telling me that the reality of Donald Trump being in the White House and having not left it yet, and it is normal, that is something normal for us to expect? We shouldn't be worried about something like that. We shouldn't be worried about the state of affairs in Congress, which is the very seat of chaos right now. Pick any concentration of government, city hall, your local town hall. Chaos. All over the place is chaos. In your schools. I read just last night a report that estimates more than 200,000 children being sexually abused in the French Catholic Church. I mean, what is this? $200,000 children, and it's just seeping out now in dribs and drabs. And France remains governable. The church remains placid. People are still going around about their business, you know, buying their groceries and making dinner. This is utter chaos. And there seems to be no let up of it. We can't run, we can't hide. We're stuck with chaos. We can't confront these people. They are way past the ability to change. They're not interested in changing. They're interested in what they've got, the chaos that they have. This, for them, is progress. They're getting what they want. How do you have 200,000 children who are said to be sexually abused, and this has been tightly guarded for years? And even now, as it is becoming known, the parents don't say anything. The people don't say anything. Because they're up against the church. The church is the ultimate power. They won't prevail against the church. So we have a crazy world. And much in the world that is itself crazy has been converted, so that we see it as acceptable, or we don't see it as a problem at all. We just see it as, well, something that just happened. They'll get to the bottom of it eventually, and we will know the truth. But you know the truth now. There is enough there to bother you. There's enough to be concerned about. There are enough alarms going off to stimulate widespread action and reaction, but there is none. And everywhere we're seeing it exploding, here. And then next, there's just as we were getting ready to come on air, there was a shooting, a kid. They think this is the movies. This is insane. And I don't know what the answer is, if there even is an answer, to the chaos that has enveloped much of the world. So I guess it comes down to, what is the work? What is the challenge before us as individuals, and perhaps even as members of clusters of sanity? What is the work that we have to do? How do we deal with this? What do we do with this? We have a president, a new president, who already looks defeated. Yeah, he's going along, you know, but soon there'll be doddering and forgetfulness. We will see that his priorities are not what he said they would be. And we would see people saying, okay. On the other hand, we have another former president who has been crazy for years. And that is what the people loved about him. Because he's unorthodox in every imaginable way, including insanity. And still, people will not bring themselves, they can't bring themselves to say it, let alone even think it. Well, you know, he has his own way, or pretty much the same sentiment being expressed all over the place. Give him a break. He is an unusual guy. He's a genius. How dare you assume that you could understand a genius? Your brain is too small for that. You've had no experience with genius. And so we put up with this. And we put up with the anomaly that while there is an elected president in office, there's also a former president who is acting as president. I don't know if you recall that I said that long before it happened. I said Trump is meticulously setting up a parallel, I called it, a parallel presidency. You might have thought I was crazy. What do you think now? He has a parallel White House. He has a parallel cabinet. He's been holding parallel gatherings, mass gatherings, to let the people know that he's still moving, he's still doing his thing, and stay close. And boom, before you know it, you have a parallel a full-fledged parallel presidency with all of the trappings. I know people said, I myself got calls, people saying, now what is it that you are postulating here? What do you mean a parallel presidency? You're either president or you're not. I said, well, you take a look at the architecture and the behavior. It is the same as when he was in the White House. Nothing really has changed there. And the attitude, this is very important, the attitude of media remains the same. They still adore him. They still think he's a fun guy. They like Donald Trump because he stirs things up. He causes things to happen. No. In any country with normal people, this would be considered an act against the state. A former president is running a parallel presidency in every step, in every sense of the word. That's what he has. He has foreign dignitaries coming to visit with him. He's making policy, and the dutiful media, they're covering him, not critically, but explaining his position on things, giving him wide berth, not holding him to any standards, not asking him, what the hell are you doing here? The people voted for a president, and it's not you. Go away and have some Kool-Aid. But he has not moved one inch away from his plan. And now the media are full-fledged partners. They're not explaining that this is so bizarre, so wrong, so undemocratic. We've never seen this before. And now we're in the thick of it, and they still are not seeing it. I warned it. I saw it coming. And I called it. And here it is. So this is chaos. This is the kind of chaos that has enveloped the world. It's the kind of chaos against which we seem to have no defense. We seem to have no response to this kind of chaos, except to ignore it and hope it goes away. This is leading directly into a kind of Armageddon. When we see these forces gathering steam in their own geographic areas, eventually they'll come together. There will be a sense that they have so much in common. It is time for them to rule the world. And can you blame them? Some people who can barely write, can barely think, have unimaginable power today. And they're amassing greater and greater power. Where do you think this is going to lead? People could pretend, well, we have our institutions and they will prevail. Okay, good luck. Good luck if you think that. It's not going to prevail. We are in the midst of the gathering storm. Nobody wants to take this on. Nobody wants to take on Donald Trump. And as crazy and sick as he is, he prevails. He influences. He has power. Outside, even outside of our borders, he has in some ways grown because we have let him by not challenging him. The media has just said, you do what you want as long as it makes good copy. As long as we get the pictures, you can do what you want. So there is a fallout happening. This is my theory. I could be as wrong can be. But my theory is, all over the world, people are testing the limits. They're testing how far they can go. And they're going in a direction that they believe would be hard for the status quo to contain them, unless there is a desire for all-out war. Do you think, did you think 10, 20, 30 years ago you could see the United States developing into what it is now with little people, silly people, really, but carefully choreographing their rise and serving as an example throughout the world. Yeah, I know I don't have a college degree. I don't have a doctorate. I don't have this. I don't have that. But I got power. And I could make things happen the way I wanted to happen. Just look at January 6th. The guy goes down to the congressional offices, outside of the offices, and he makes a speech. And next thing, we see it happening. The members of Congress are running for their lives. They're under direct assault, direct attack. People were killed. This is no joke. He says, we're going down to Congress. They didn't even have to ask for the particulars. They're just following orders. And even though that was broadcast, even though people saw with their own eyes, they heard him make his various speeches, his various stupid speeches, they dismissed it. Well, you know, it's Donald Trump being Donald Trump, being ostentatious. We've had so many lessons about this kind of thing happening all over the world. People who previously were thought of as insignificant, or they weren't cut from the same cloth as people who had to go through the motions of qualification. And then they wreak havoc once they get that power. They wreak havoc. And we still are unwilling. We still are unwilling to believe what our eyes are seeing and what our ears are hearing. We still are doubting that it could possibly be true. And if, in fact, we come to the point of accepting it, we rationalize that too. That the time has come for a strong leader. And that's who he is. He's a strong leader. And it's natural that people would gang up against him and want to resist him. So I bring you the good news that we're well on our way to serious chaos in this country and around the world. Because we have been too timid. We have been too nonchalant to engage in a real fight. We let things happen. And that is exactly the philosophy that breeds these conditions. Just let things happen. We have lost the right and even the rationale to defend our way of life. We've lost it. Just concede that point. You now, if you want it, you will have to fight in a protracted struggle to get it back. But you've lost it. Do we think it is important enough to defend? Do you think it is important enough for us to begin to ask questions very loudly, demand answers? Demand action? Is this system that you used to know worth defending? Not for your sake alone, but for everybody's sake. I remind you that in France, Not one person has stood up in the defense of more than 200,000 children. Just a reminder. And we need go back only a few years and look at how it turned out in Germany. People were not really up to fighting a moral fight. So they got what they got. And then the whole world was enmeshed in it, whether they wanted to be or not. We have a challenge before us, and the challenge is to decide who we will be as a nation. Are we going to stand up and defend what is right? Or will we let this crazy play out? Take a break right now. Come back to your thoughts and opinions at 888-874-4888 right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the cost of leaving bad things be. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to put your two cents in. Let's hear from you at 888-874-4888. What do you think about this theory that I've postulated today? And where do you see things going? All right. Looking for some names now on the board here. And I have to get this thing under control. I am not in full control here. But I do have to get it under control. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, E. How are you doing?
Hanging in there.
Good.
Yeah. It's good, but it's not good because I'm here. This weight is weighing down on my neck. I just can't stand this anymore. People are so tricked that it's unbelievable. The naivety of people in the world now, we've all been so conditioned to listen to our authorities that we don't know how to think anymore for ourselves. We're being pushed this way, prodded that way, told to go in this direction. We did what we what they told us to do. We thought that was what we're supposed to do. How do we know, from what we're seeing now, how do we know that the Great Depression that happened in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, how do we know that wasn't a planned out thing? How do we know that the Revolutionary War, the way it turned out, wasn't a planned out thing? Who benefited?
I have this to say, whether it was planned out or not, it's long gone. And we are in the here and now. So talk to me about your thoughts about the here and now.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to look back and hear history to see the same things that are going on now.
Try to pull you out and say, I get your point. And I agree with that point. But we still must have an eye on the future. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Now, if you believe Donald Trump really was voted in as the president of the United States, then that's a big problem, because that's not, that couldn't be possible. He was trained for 12 years on a television show called The Apprentice, where he was the boss and he would hire and fire people. And that was the whole premise of the show. For 12 years, he had to go through that to prepare him for what he did for those 4 years he was in here. Terrorizing people purposely to divide us up. Some people look at him as a hero. Those people are tricked into believing that. You think of him as an insane maniac person, and you've been tricked into thinking that. And that's where the division lies. And the whole purpose of his 4 years was to accomplish that, and it accomplished it. And we gladly took Biden over him because he was crazy. And Biden's a nice old guy, right? So now we got Biden, who couldn't win the other two times, and he was supposed to run after being vice president for 8 years against Trump in 2016, but he didn't. Why not? Because he would have lost, and that would have been a three-time loser. So they let Hillary do it because they want the Clintons out of the picture, right? Do we hear about
you're going through all of that, and again, it is past.
All right, where's Charles Ortel? I haven't heard, you haven't had him on the show in a long, long time.
He's finishing a book.
Yeah. Well, he assured us that the Clintons are going to be indicted.
You talk about Charles.
4 years ago. That was before Trump got elected. He told us all these things that the Clintons did to Haiti and all these other places.
He did that
to them. Nothing. They're enjoying their lives and their grandchildren.
A lot of people have shared a lot of their expertise and spent a lot of their time trying to educate and warn people. But it doesn't seem, in many cases, that it was successful in changing people's attitudes. But thanks for getting us started today. Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice. My short answer to your question is, should we be willing to fight to go back to where we were, this sort of, you know, good old days or something? The answer to that is no, because it was the good old days that brought us to the present. You have to understand why people insist on ignoring the obvious fact that it's the elected representatives themselves that destroyed the possibility of electoral solutions to any problems that people actually face. It's the people you elected that did that. The question is, when are we, and I'm not talking about the collective we, the vast majority of Americans or people in the world aren't going to do anything. They're going to do what they've always done, which is look for opportunities for, you know, adventurism, careerism, how can I accommodate the system and adapt? In fact, Gary Null last hour told a caller to do that. It's a typical capitalist reaction. Although they're going more and more towards authoritarianism, how can I make it work for me? Well, that's what the political system has been easily for 100 years. And this, people delude themselves with the idea that this setup has some kind of possibility of actually improving their lives or making basic changes to make society better. It doesn't. What we have to face are the real questions, and none of our political options address any of the real questions of how to break the political, military, and propaganda power that always stand firmly in the way of any little demands you make. That's the question. It can't be done politically. It simply can't be done. So, at least it's been common knowledge among revolutionaries, at least since the 1970s, which has been made a secret, apparently, to the left, who is incapable of doing any independent research. The way you define class is not by your income. That's not how you define class. You define class based on, are you pro-revolution? Are you for the revolution of overthrowing capitalism and making an actual equalitarian society? Or are you counter-revolutionary? Are you against it? Your income has nothing to do with it. This is the question. And so at some point, people are going to be confronted with having to realize once again that when the conditions will be correct for a real revolution, and I think you know what I mean by that, if you wait for this perfect time when the conditions are right, it will be too late. Because when you're living in a country like the United States that has the potential for repressive violence in the government that this place does, there isn't going to be a more favorable set of conditions that's going to arise. We are going to have to do it now. We should have been doing it 40 years ago, at least since the Nixon administration. And we're at the late development. This is late stage capitalism. It is in collapse. The good old days of the big booms is over. It's been over at least since the early 90s. And we keep pretending pretending that we have leaders and we'll just elect somebody that knows what they're doing. None of that is possible. You were talking about Andrew Yang, I think it was yesterday. I mean, I thought it was really funny. Why are Americans incapable of realizing after all this time that there is nobody that is ever going to be allowed to participate in the electoral system that could possibly change anything? And if they thought so, they wouldn't be there. It's like saying, I'm going to have a revolutionary editor of the New York Times, or I'm going to have a revolutionary head of General Motors. I mean, no, you're there to make profits for your shareholders. If you don't do that, you're out. It's systemic. You have absolutely no effect on this.
All right, so why don't you give us a snapshot of what you see as the lay of the land, right, as we are right now? What is the lay of the land right now?
Well, this is a global fascist project. In World War II, the Allies defeated Germany, Spain, and Italy. fascism just went underground for a while, but now it's in charge, and it's in charge globally. Look, when a Democrat in government and Republicans in government both talk about a public-private partnership, that's the very definition of fascism. Mussolini called it the corporate state. It's a distinction without a difference. It's fascism. Anybody with a spoonful of brains knows this. The entire American political scene, while they're posturing as being correct, throws bouquets on itself for its political perspicacity and can't see obvious things. We are in a state of global fascism, and you are not going to vote it away. You are not going to gab it away. You are not going to die it away or hug your way through it. That's not going to happen. Those of us who know what's going on are going to have to find ways to organize, regardless of whether we have allies or not, and get serious about figuring out strategies and tactics for undertaking this project. That's it. Right. There are no political solutions to this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your input today. Lincoln from New York, Mount Vernon, the great Mount Vernon. Hey. Hello, Lincoln. You're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice. How are you?
Okay.
Yes. I will quote from Marcus. Fascism was underground for a few years. It went nowhere. But now it's the appropriate time for it to resurface. Because technology, etc., everything had to line up. You use the word in your preface, you use the word Armageddon. I found that interesting that you chose that word, Armageddon, because I know sometimes you tend not to like to hear anyone using like a biblical approach. So I found that interesting.
Well, you're using the Bob Marley approach, actually.
Well, Bob Marley was a biblical student.
Well, I was particularly in tune with him in that sense.
And much of his songs, he actually, word for word from the Bible, actually.
Yes.
And some of his songs were word for word from Marcus Garvey. A lot of his lyrics he did not write. A lot of them, like even that until was Haile Selassie's speech. Literally, until the philosophy which holds one word.
You know, that's a speech. Yes. Yes.
Yes, it was
that
from
was directly but, yeah. a speech. Mm-hmm. But we're straying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's get back to our topic.
Yeah. And I have always thought that, so why I'm pointing out the word you use, Armageddon, I always thought that, and I'm not going to stay in a spiritual thing, I just want to just interject this for people to think about. I've always thought that the Babylon that the Revelation spoke about was America. The city that once, this great city that was destroyed. And America is the Babylon. It is the Great Babylon, and it will be destroyed. And it's a lot of what's going on is not just political. A lot of it is a spiritual war. And if you look up the meaning of the word Armageddon, Armageddon is the last spiritual war. Okay, you ask a question to Marcus. You said, what is the lay of the land? The lay of the land is, it's a dim future. You know, we're at the precipice of human annihilation. And a big part of it is due to the people ourselves. Like you were talking about Trump, etc., right? And you're speaking about January 6th. I don't agree with you. January 6th was allowed to happen. Imagine, whenever they expected a big protest and no preparation was made, knowing that so many thousands of people were coming. That is an outright giveaway. They allowed it to happen. They wanted it to happen. And it was not whatever the word you are using. And they didn't. That was created by provocateurs and saboteurs who were supplied by the CIA and the FBI. It was a continuation of the destruction of that.
How do you know this to be true? You see, I don't mind you have a theory, but don't present it as fact, conclusive.
Okay, let me say to you then, that is my thesis, my hypothesis. All right.
Yes, but you still.
And I think that but it's obvious.
Your thesis, you still have the responsibility to say things that you can prove and prove as true.
No, this is about critical thinking.
Don't mix blanket statements like that.
No, it's not a blanket statement. This is based on critical thinking. It's just—it's no different than saying,
don't go there. Don't go there.
No, one second. Let me just make this point.
As I always do, it's one thing to present a thought and so forth, but if it's not proven as fact, if you can't do it, don't say it.
No. There are certain times let me give you an example. It's like saying, how did Building 3 go down and it wasn't hit by a plane? You don't have to wait for facts. You look at that and you say, wow, there's something strange about that. So I'm saying to you, I'm bringing up an inconsistency. And the inconsistency is, usually if they expect such a huge crowd, especially a demonstration, and at such a sensitive time,
you went beyond it, Lincoln, and don't try to paraphrase it. You went beyond CIA and the FBI and whatever it is, as if you have a piece of paper from the CIA basically agreeing with exactly what you said. Don't do that. It's okay to put together a theory, but present it as such. Don't present it as fact. You'll get into trouble every time.
And I'm presenting it for people to stop and think of this. You know, those people on January 6th, they came there to protest the election. That's what they went there for. They didn't go there to start no violence. They went there to protest the elections because of all the inconsistencies that occurred in the election.
And because Trump told them to do it.
No.
Yes, he did. Maybe you didn't listen to me.
I'm going to show you something.
He directed them as to where they should go and go down to Congress. He directed it. He told them where to go. Like hell. That's what he said. And fight like hell. This is a president, a sitting president, behaving this way.
What is the difference, Utrecht, between him telling them to go down there and Maxine Walters telling Democrats?
Stay with the subject. Because you know your argument has already fallen apart. The president was an agitator. The president basically encouraged the violence, even gave them specific instructions as to where to go and what to do. This is unheard of in any country.
On earth, it is unheard of that a president
go down there and fight like hell.
It is unheard of that a president's Twitter is taken down. Donald Trump don't have no power. I don't know where you're getting this thing that Donald Trump has power.
All right. See, now you're skipping and jumping from subject to subject because you haven't developed one of them fully. You haven't developed your subjects fully. Instead, you have put things out there as if you know them to be facts, and they're not. And this is what I say, we have a responsibility I like people with strong opinions, but at least give us the benefit of knowing that you have done your research and you can defend yourself.
Okay, let me give you an example.
We'll have to do it tomorrow. We'll have to do it tomorrow because we're out of time. So I guarantee you your space for tomorrow, and we'll pick it up then. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening and contributing today. As I said, we'll come back to this tomorrow because this is a question that must be dealt with. And I've raised it many times. It's about time we get into it. And that will be tomorrow. Bye-bye.